Ooh, Dave.
John.
Dave,
I'm feeling a little bit left out. Can someone do a
Tom?
Ask me what I've been doing.
What have you been doing?
Not much.
Cue the music.
The Failing Writers Podcast is the greatest podcast
the world
has ever known. John,
Tom,
and
Dave
are amazing.
Certainly
the most
professional
outfit
I've
ever
heard of.
Cows.
Seriously though, have you actually been doing anything, John? Have you been writing anything?
Well, actually, do you know what? Yeah, we've had another go at the log line.
Oh yeah, we've been knocking that backwards and forwards, haven't we?
I think me and you, Tommy, we've been tennising the log line.
Yeah, I think we've done some good work on that, actually.
But also, following Evan's advice, I had a little go at trying to write out the beats.
Oh.
Just for episode one.
Oh, right, okay. Night.
But I almost immediately spotted a problem with that strategy.
Problem.
Which is, how do you do that when you don't really know the characters that well? Like, when a show already exists, do you know what I mean? It's fair enough. You know how each character will respond in any given exchange. But when you've never sort of really thought about, well, I don't mean not thought about, because we have thought about the characters, but you've never really heard them speak in your head. What do you do then? Do you know what I mean?
You write forward.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it made me realise that this is one of the perennial issues with plotting, isn't it? And we've talked about this before, but it's a total chicken and egg. It's like you need the plot in order to start planning out what the characters do. But in order to like understand the characters in the first place so that you can drive the plot forwards convincingly, you actually need to immerse yourself in the characters. You need to hear their voices, do you know what I mean? And just sort of experience them.
Oh, and it's almost as if there isn't a really quick and easy way to do it, isn't it?
That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, no, I would say two things there, John. Mm-hmm. One, I think that's on the first draft and going through, that's when they're almost allowed to be quite two-dimensional.
Yeah.
During the very simple characters, and that's how they react, and then you can polish it up.
They've got very simple wants and needs. I think that's exactly it.
And then you can polish it up and put the subtlety in later.
Yeah, yeah. But it made me realise, well, I started to think about Gillian McAllister's model of writing the entire thing once and then binning it and starting again.
Yeah.
That's quite a good strategy.
Yeah.
Because effectively, that's what you've got to do, isn't it? You write some beats, then you write the actual thing, then you go, that's not right, and then you go back and then rewrite it. And there's no other real, you know, way of doing it. And people will tell you, you know, you've got to do it this way because it will speed things up for you. That might be true, but you still can't speed it up to the point of doing it in any way quickly.
You've still got to do it. You've just still got to do it, haven't you?
You've just got to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my little epiphany for the day. Is that?
I was going to say, unless number two idea, why don't you take the characters, John, and put them through some stupid online personality quiz? Maybe that would help you.
That'll slow me down even more.
Oh, we don't need more things to do.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. That's true.
So, good
bit of tinkering with Poker Night. I'm glad to see that someone else is feeling the impending deadline of Damocles.
It's getting close, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dave.
Hey, I've got a little... Still, oh, sorry.
John's still speaking.
Go on. Go on, you carry on.
No, go on, I was going to ask Dave what he's writing.
Yeah, go on, John. Carry on, John.
Let's do that first. He doesn't want to be asked.
Dave, what have you been writing?
Well...
Sorry, let me rephrase the question. Dave, have you been writing anything?
No.
Right, fair enough.
Is the short answer. Do you know what? I can't believe it's a week since the last time you asked me that question.
Yeah, well...
I think, what's happened?
Sometimes it is like that, isn't it? Where you just think, I don't know
where it's gone. I think I might have mentioned this before, but I used to work with a guy who would say an awful lot of really silly things, and every now and then he'd come out with an absolute pearler, and you'd think, oh, that's real insight. And we were talking about how life seems to go faster as you sort of get older. And he said, well, see, the thing is, if you think about it, right, when you're four, a year is like a quarter of your life. But when you're 40, it's nowhere near that, is it? It's just a little drop in the ocean. It's
so
like
he couldn't work out the percentages on the hoover?
No, because we were sort of 22 at the time, which made it an even harder sum. But yeah, it's yeah, just like it, I don't know where time is going. As I'm getting older, it's just flying by.
Yeah.
So that's a roundabout way of saying I haven't written anything.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. Tom?
Obviously, I've been working on the Poker Night stuff a little bit with you, I guess. And I've started writing another little short story. You know, I was saying about the Globe suit.
Another one?
Another one? I got an email from them. They're doing it's like a 7-day challenge. I was just thinking actually before, don't know how many days into the 7-day challenge we are. I might need to check.
Probably
that.
Already seven, yeah.
So that, which is interesting. And I nearly just didn't bother doing it because it sounded a bit too hard. So, you know, like when we did the 250-word ones with the idiot judges and stuff, and it gave you a genre to write in. So this does the same. Mm. So it gives you an overall subject, which is family. So that's the same. Whatever genre you get is family as the subject. But the genre I got was surrealist. And I thought, oh, bollocks to that. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
I bet you quite enjoyed that.
Then I thought, actually, come on, we should, have a little play around with that. It might be fun. Mm. So.
And how many days were you into the challenge?
I don't know.
You said it was a 7-day
challenge. Yeah, no, I don't know when it started. I can't remember when I got the email.
Oh, is it? Okay. You're still not sure.
So I started writing something a couple of days ago, but I don't know if that was like, you know, when you get an email, you think, oh, yeah, I'll get around to that. And it's just kind of just slowly sinks down your inbox into the bit where you don't really see it anymore. So if that's still on, I'll still work on that.
That's good. And how many words?
2,000.
Because
that's a lot of words. 2,000.
That's quite nice for a short story, though, isn't it? It gives you a bit more getting up and down.
2,000 words.
I did feel that, with the ones we've been getting in for our competition, that some of them, it's amazing. I thought, looking through lots of them, and we've not got through all of them yet because we have got quite a lot, but some of them seem like packed into the word count. Like you can tell it's just like they wanted another 250 words. Mm. And it's kind of like they pared them down and they come in and it's got 499 words. Do you know, it's like really on the limit. And then you get some where they've told the story in like less than 200 words. Mm. There's nothing else to add.
Yeah.
It's just, it's interesting. But 2,000 gives you a bit of a, there's no excuse really, is there? There's nothing to hide behind of, oh, well, I didn't really
know. That's true. It's a proper story, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not that these aren't, but
no,
these are like moments, aren't they?
Thing,
Yeah.
Wow, it's its own challenge then, isn't it? Because you still, if you want to make it good, you've still got to be brutal about taking out stuff that doesn't need to be there. But you've got that leeway that says, well, I could just leave that in, couldn't I?
After getting quite used to sort of writing around the 500-word mark, I did find myself when I started writing, this is coming. It's quite a good idea. It's flowing. And I got about 400 or 500 words. And then I did kind of get a little flashback to writing essays at university where you had to hit a word count.
Yeah.
Let's expand.
I think I've said everything. Right. Let's flower this up a bit. Let's get some extra words in there.
Yeah. We're back to the no again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Do you think you're finding your thing, Tom?
Well, I mean, I haven't found it yet. I'm still looking, but
but you obviously enjoy writing. You're writing another one.
Yeah,
that's a good sign that you enjoy writing short stories.
Do you know? I mean, entirely the reason for starting this podcast, and I mean, it was my brilliant idea in the first place, wasn't it? But I think that came from somewhere deep inside me that knew I wasn't doing anything and I should be. And so I think this is just like a natural, this is my, what should be my natural state of just chipping away at different stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't want to be put in a box, man. Do you know what I mean? Like free spirit. And I just
I like that.
When the muse hits, I like to write.
I think 500 words is quite a nice thing because it's basically a page, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like roughly.
Yeah.
So it's good as you're writing, you think, oh, I'm getting near the bottom here. Better wrap this up.
500 words is something that you can write in an emergency quite quickly and do something decent.
Yeah.
Mm.
2,000 words, that's a bit of
thought in that.
Yeah, that's a full day's work to get something.
A couple of sittings, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's the difference between like doing a little ditty for this podcast and actually writing a song
with multiple verses and choruses and
proper middle eight. And
yeah.
And actually that's incredibly hard, I think, to really create a But you can do it, Tom.
Yeah, just, well, whatever. Just just nice to be on the writing wagon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I feel like I want to enter a competition now just to have something to write.
I think that's where I found it quite good is obviously I'm not in a position to start another project because I'm trying to finish Chad Nadworthy. We've got Poor Knight on the go. And then I do want to do this novel idea out the other side of that. So there's not room for something else to be started.
Yeah.
But writing 500 words, 2,000 words.
Keep your hand in.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so what you're saying is, Tom, this is your way of procrastinating.
In a way, yeah. But, I mean, it's quite a wholesome way of procrastinating, isn't it?
It's a productive procrastination.
Procrastination.
Trademark that.
That'll be the title of my genuine self-help book. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Tom. Well done.
Yeah, cool. Very good. Very exciting.
It's not exciting, John, but yes. Thank
you. I'm excited to read it. And it's more content for the podcast. And that's exciting.
True.
Well, I mean, we couldn't really have much more content. Let me start that sentence again. We couldn't really... We couldn't really have much more content for the podcast. All my time is taken up at the minute trying to get through these thousands, if not millions, of entries that we've had for our second annual Failing Writers Writing Competition.
And there are so
there's just
many.
So much.
The thing is, as well, I keep having to have I do it in little batches, so you don't feel like you're being unfair to people. That, do you mean if you were to read 20 or 30 in a row, then poor number 28, 29, and 30, just like, I can't be, blah, 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 word.
I don't want anyone...
So, trying to be fair.
I don't want
to
make anyone who has entered feel bad, but trying to get through them all proper gave me a migraine last night.
Oh, mate.
Just so, I hope nobody... don't take that personally. It wasn't any one particular story, but you collectively have given me a right edit.
How's your shortlists coming on? Are there any that have stuck out?
There are a few. It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes you can get sort of just a few. I think you said this before, Tom. You get just a few lines in, and you go, "Oh, this is a good one."
Yeah.
There's just something about the way that it's written that makes you go, "Oh, this is gonna be good." I didn't even know what it's about yet, but there's an X factor to it, isn't there?
That's one of the things that Tim Craig talked about, wasn't it? Is that there are certain stories where you feel like you're in safe hands. Straight away.
Yeah.
That's what he said about Craig Margolis's winning entry, wasn't it?
And that's really true, isn't it? You sort of relax into it. It's like watching a good stand-up comedian. You know, there's that first bit when they walk on stage.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of nerves because you're like, I want them to be good.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be crap. Yeah. And then as soon as you're off the mark, it's...
we are pouring through them all and we've been picking out the odd one here and there, but I think it's about now that we should reveal that actually the final decision on the winner is too big a decision to be left in the hands of idiots like us.
Yeah. As many decisions are, to be fair. There's quite a long list of decisions that we shouldn't be allowed to make. And this is one of them.
Most decisions shouldn't be left to us. So we have subcontracted out the final decision to a special guest judge.
Someone we've spoken to before, and we just thought it'd be a bit of a good way of looking at it, because when we set up the competition saying it was love stories, we made it very clear that they don't have to be, they can be, but they don't have to be soppy romance love stories. They can be, have a little bit of a twist or come in at a different angle or be a horror story that's got some love in or whatever. And the person we've chosen to judge is actually more famous for writing about breakups.
Yeah. I think that's quite a Failing Writers thing, isn't it? To get a breakup expert to judge our romance stories. Yeah.
So who is it, Dave? Tell us.
It's Rosie Wilby.
Rosie Wilby, yeah. So who wrote the breakup monologues?
Friend of the podcast.
If you've not heard last season, she was a fantastic guest last season, actually.
She's very kindly and graciously accepted to take our little sort of we're going to do some pre-judging, aren't we? We're going to make a little short list.
We're pre-whittling.
A long short list.
Yeah, a long short list or a short long list, whichever way it turns out. We'll give that to her and then she will be in charge of making the final decision. So we thought, as that decision's out of our hands, why don't we today just talk a little bit about some of the stories that have stood out to us so far?
That is a good idea. It seems
That is a good idea.
It seems absurd not to feature some of these on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not to say these won't go through to the long list or short list or whatever. This is literally us on the hoof as we're halfway through them. So there'll be some we've not even read yet.
This is kind of our long list, isn't it, in fairness? Yeah.
It's almost to prove we have read some, really, isn't it? It's to show that we're not... It's like showing our work.
Yeah, show your work
in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, so let's have a short story special.
You've got less words than you thought. Sometimes it's better to come up short. So grind it all down with your literary pestle. Gather round for our short story special. We'll be the vessel in which your stories can nestle. And learn the lesson, it's better when less letters lecture impress us.
I think that could have been a number one hit. John, you were talking about
you said it was hard writing number one hit to like full songs, but I think
I haven't listened to the hit parade for a while, but
whack a couple of choruses on that and some,
so shall we now here live on the podcast, shall we expose a selection of top quality stories to the world at large?
I think we should.
In a sense, you know what we're doing? We're going to flash some fiction.
Oh, yes.
There's an idea for a song as well.
let's go straight into another ditty.
And here's another song.
Better dash it off quick song. Got to flash your fiction. Flash it. Make a splash with your addiction.
Jesus Christ, no more ditties.
Yeah.
All right, huh? I'm sorry.
No more ditties.
I see, that's just giving me another idea.
No more ditties. No more ditties. Please, please, please. No more ditties.
Right, pack it in now. We've got a podcast to actually. We're doing a podcast, not a blooming busking session.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, yes. I need to stop doing that. Actually, having said that, that does give me an idea for another ditty.
Oh, no. Tell you what, why don't you tell everyone why I was taking the mick out of you early this week?
Oh, yeah. Tom made fun of me because he said that my long list is too long. But I think I've made it longer because I've got a bunch of people.
You are going to have to make decisions, though.
Yeah, but I think they deserve a mention.
I would completely agree with that. I was taking the mick out of you for having a long short list, but if I'm honest, mine was about the same length, really.
Yeah, you did have quite a long list as well.
It is really hard.
It is really hard, but that's a good thing. It's good.
Because they're different as well, because they're all so different. And it's like, well, what am I judging it on? And I think eventually you just have to be really subjective, don't you? You're objective to start off with, and see whether it's well written or what do you mean? But you just go past that to, do I like it?
Yeah.
Quite like this one.
Do you find that a lot of them are so good, you've kind of got to be a bit of an asshole about it? Like in the first sentence, there might just be like a spelling mistake or something, or a word left in that clearly they hadn't deleted. And it's like,
all the different. It does make you look at, you know, like I was saying, entering these competitions and stuff, it does make you think, actually. Stuff like the title.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like there's some that I've gone, oh, well, it's good, but if you're going to pick between them, that title's a bit
better. Yeah.
I've not really thought about the title.
Well, you've
it's
the fine margins. So, yeah, little things like an errant the or a impersonal pronoun or I don't know, whatever. But yeah, you've got to pick some to knock them out.
A gerund in the wrong place, I think. You know, that's no one likes that.
No one likes a misplaced gerund.
I wish I could remember what that was to agree.
It's just what I was thinking.
Right, so Dave.
Yes.
Anything that stood out for you?
Do you know what? There was one that sort of caught my eye, and I think you've already mentioned him, Tom, because we've seen this guy before.
Ah, right.
Yes, Craig D. Margolis.
The reigning champion.
The reigning failing writers writing competition champion. Has entered again this year. Now, as we've said, these things being featured here, this makes no impact on whether they win, whether they lose.
I mean, but obviously we're not going to let him win again, are we? So,
well, no, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
But you never know.
If he goes into that shortlist, it's not down to
us. that's the truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's out of our
control. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point we're trying to make here, isn't it? So, I'm going to read this story. that is called Painless by Craig D. Margolis. His attention skipped from the glaring lights to the medicine bottles over to the walls pasted in sticker daffodils, any place but the man in the white coat. "I'm sorry there's not more we can do for her. Continued treatment's unlikely to prolong life. Better to ease her suffering and her passage." To where? Not there, with him, where she belonged. Someone had set a vial, syringe and gauze carefully on the counter, standing by. "It's the best thing for her pain, but I'll leave you to think about it." "Sure," he said. This was a place for leaving, after all. Her head lay in his lap, eyes half-lidded and unfocused. Stroking her hair, he ticked through his list of shouldn'ts. She shouldn't be sick. He shouldn't have to decide. They shouldn't be there at all. She stopped his spiral with a groan. "It'll all be okay," he lied. It wasn't so long ago they strolled together, watching silly sandalings dot in and out of the surf, bobbing for tiny crabs. Spontaneously, either would break into a run, forcing the other to follow, chasing their bird friends about the beach with boundless enthusiasm. The kids would join, that is, if they could be pulled from fortress-making. He hadn't been much help building, she, positively unproductive, despite best intentions and unbridled joy. Now, the children were in college. Sandcastles of forgotten pastime. The boys had begged to come home. Still, he refused, hoping to spare them this worst of adulthood, at least a while longer. Drops fell, gently showering her face, before he damned their source in sullen self-chastisement. "Sorry, sweetie," he said, and wiped. "You weren't supposed to go so soon." He wasn't a fool. He knew they wouldn't grow old together, that this day was inevitable, but the readiness was hardly all. Not even close. An unwelcome knock. Maybe he ought to have barred the door, closed the castle gates like those his sons built seaside to block the rushing tide. "Have you decided?" The noise woke her, though she barely stirred. The sole sign her fully open eyes. Concentric circles of white, brown and black. Those, at least, had remained when the rest had slipped away, blazing a trail to where he couldn't follow. "You've been such a lovely girl," he whispered. "Perfect, in fact." A needful fib. It wasn't the time to think on foibles. The white coat waited, unmoved, inured to such scenes. "What do you want to do?" Wanting had nothing to do with it, he thought, while nodding to proceed. He bent close, causing her ear to twitch. "I love you." She nuzzled his face in reply, soft as a kiss. As was the rain which resumed against his will. The needle pierced her skin so deftly she seemed not to notice. The man knew his craft. The drive back, he cradled her, ignoring the calls and texts. He consoled himself instead with repetition. "She was just a dog." "Only a dog." "Just a dog." "Only a dog."
Oh,
I feel right sad now.
Yeah.
Can't help thinking that one is probably biographical. Do you know what I mean?
The Craig is a dog.
You think it was written by a dead dog?
Oh, biographical, right? Yeah. No,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's got to be some. Yeah.
Yes. There's definitely like a personal emotion in there, isn't it?
Why did you like it, Dave?
I don't know. There was what, just. What it was of... really. It was really good.
I mean, that's what I was saying, isn't it, about the objective thing? It's
true.
No, it was... It's so true. When you go, well, it's well written, it tells a story, and then past that, you kind of go,
it's just good.
I
yeah.
just really no, liked it. Was... It. It just touched me. It just.
It wasn't overblown.
No, no.
No, I think it was a nice light touch, but do you know what I think was really nice about it? It wasn't trying to hide anything.
Exactly. It wasn't sort of over the top.
You could work out at any point in that it was a dog, and it's not ruined the end. If you haven't worked it out, you get that little pull around at the end. But at no point does it ruin it because it's the slow, inevitable emotional journey of it, isn't it? It's inevitability that just goes all the way through that.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it is important sometimes not to try to be too clever.
Yes.
That's probably true, yeah. isn't it? Especially when you're reading yeah. quite a lot of these short stories. I think some of the most clever ones aren't overly clever, if you know what I mean. They're just,
but they are underneath, yeah. they're underneath clever, though, aren't they, as well? That's when you get
they're not trying to.
Yeah,
they're not trying to blow your mind. It's going back to Tim Craig's fireworks thing, isn't it? Again, it's the. Yeah. You know,
but that's the thing. If you're trying to be clever, there's always a danger that you're not as clever as you think you are, and then you just come across as being not very.
Or
clever
your reader's really stupid,
yeah.
which is very possible in this particular example.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, John. But it's a bit like really trying to be funny, isn't it? You know, it's it just comes across as a bit silly.
Yeah,
but...
yeah.
No, I just thought it was really nicely written, and I liked the sort of sparsity of dialogue as well. It was just a few.
But they all carried a lot of weight with them, didn't they? Every bit of dialogue was very valuable in it.
Yeah,
it was
just enough, wasn't it?
A lot hanging on it.
Yeah. And like, you know, Tim Craig said as well last year about like sort of capturing just a really brief moment really well. Mm. So, yes, well done, Craig. There we go. That's my first offering to tonight's proceedings.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Very good choice.
Well, I think I should follow on from that because this one that I've picked, you're saying about picking a sort of focusing on a tiny moment and kind of capturing something small and turning it into a thing.
Mm.
And one that I really just, I think, well, I'll read it and then explain afterwards maybe. So this is Disagree with Douglas Adams at Your Peril by Shanda Bars. Is it though? Is it what? Derek's response startled her. She hadn't intended to muse out loud and had sort of forgotten he was there. Stretched out on the daybed, doom-scrolling on their phones, enjoying the last rays of the sun with their naked limbs still entwined. It was unclear to her where his body started and hers ended. And she realised in that moment just how easy he was to be with. How much she took him for granted, and how little he minded. Could it be true love? Just doing some philosophizing over here. Listen to this quote from Douglas Adams. It is difficult to be sat on all day, every day by some other creature without forming an opinion about them. On the other hand, it is perfectly possible to sit all day, every day on top of another creature and not have the slightest thought about them whatsoever. So, I disagree. I don't think it's possible. She peered out from under her bangs at a man. Soft as a kiss, his smile took over his face slowly, as all his best smiles did. That's because you have an opinion about everything. So it's very short.
It's very short. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Less than 200 words. And I just thought, it's one of those that I had to read it twice, actually. First read, it didn't massively grab me, but you know when there's just something that makes you go back?
Mm. Yeah.
What I thought it did really well was capture that almost indescribable thing, which is when you're like with someone you love and it's all unspoken and there's that kind of...
Yeah.
And just I think it just captured that so nicely as a one tiny little moment of them just sat or lying mm-hmm. together. And something's just nonsensical. Do you mean not important? Discussion, just that way when you're with someone that close to you, can just share random nonsense without being fear of being judged.
Yeah.
And I quite like the way it was centered around that quote, that they used that as a building block for the story as well. I thought it was quite an interesting technique to it. But yeah, just love the way the writing behind it just kind of, like I said, just took like a, it's almost like it's taken a Polaroid picture of that moment.
Yeah, it gives you real insight into their relationship with that. But by hardly saying anything about them at all,
just,
isn't it?
Really low key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just really low key.
It felt inconsequential, but actually it was totally, it said so much about their relationship and about their characters.
That's
well.
Exactly, yeah. I think. Yeah, it's completely inconsequential and just random musings that are so affirming in terms of their relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that one. And the fact it was less than 200 words still.
Yeah.
There wasn't a well, I've got loads more words. I can put in a bit here and a bit there. It's like, no, it's done.
Yeah. It seems like a sort of snapshot of like a holiday where you had a really great time and someone says, so what did you do? And you go,
nothing really.
Well, nothing. I don't remember anything about it, really. It was just, it was really good.
So a very good story about nothing but everything at the same time.
But, isn't that love in a nutshell?
There's always one that's on top.
Yeah. Yeah, which and the Douglas Adams quote was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In itself.
Let me get this right. She's disagreeing with the quote. She's saying that you are aware that you're on top.
Yeah.
Is that right? Have I got that right? Yeah.
Yeah,
Because she's aware in her...
Yeah, because she's, as she said earlier on, whether she takes him for granted and... Do you know what I mean? She's kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
She feels like she should tell him all the things, but they're not. They're just being, which is fine.
Mm. It's good.
Yeah. John, have you got one that links neatly into that in some way? Give us a Dave quality link segue from that to one of yours.
I've got one that actually literally does have love in a nutshell.
Aerosmith's Little Known B-side.
Because that would be a perfect link.
I don't have one that moves, you know, straight into another one, but I did want to mention a few, and I think now might be a good time just to barrel through a few that I liked. You've got a few that you liked as well, haven't you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of crossover as well. And
I'm going to move quickly because there is a lot. Okay, but I'll get to one quite quickly that I want to
read. Have you just got a list of all of the entries?
Now,
just read them all out.
These
don't want to leave anyone
nice
out.
Little, yeah, these guys deserve mentioning. First one, a very moving story from longtime listener Jeff Harrison.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About his brother. Also, Christopher West, the bearded quill. Very sweet little tale. Johnny P. made me laugh. Naughty boy. Jennifer Last Jen, another of our favourite people. An outstanding bit of writing, I thought. A very beautifully illustrated story.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what
I mean?
When you can see everything, like pictures in your head. That was very good. Bonnie Meekums, good work. That, do you know, that reminded me a lot of your spooky war book.
Yes, I thought that actually. Yeah,
There were two characters.
Did it?
Yeah, Violet and George. And they could be Tom and Rose. I thought, yeah.
In a sort of copyright lawsuit kind of way? Or, I mean...
But yeah, that was very nice. Actually, there were quite a lot of stories about old age.
There were, weren't there? Yeah.
So there was another one in that vein was called The Last Dance by Christina May. That was a nice idea. Very well executed.
Yeah.
Another one by Richard Lakin, which features trees. You had me at trees, Richard. And Angela McKean submitted a very sensitively written tale, which might best be described as like a slow fade out, which I thought was really beautifully done, Angela. So I'm going to read that one.
Go on.
I'm going to read it right now. It's called Aphrodite and Annette. Aphrodite was still there among the shrubs and climbers. The statue had aged, like Annette herself, become worn and pitted through exposure to the elements. It stood beyond the bay window where Annette now spent most of her days seated, a shawl over her knees. Michael had bought the statue for her 45th birthday. She had no idea why, and still didn't know 31 years later. She'd often watched Michael run his hands over Aphrodite's naked curves, her curling hair. No matter how hot or cold the day, the statue always felt cool, he said, like lime wash in autumn. Michael's love of the statue had unnerved Annette. It made her feel she'd failed him. Perhaps he'd wanted her to follow its sensual lead, to go to him proudly naked, relishing her sexuality. Maybe he'd craved to find in her an echo of the goddess's power, something that would satisfy an erotic craving for subjugation. These unspeakable questions snagged in her mind and would not let her be. The statue felt like an intruder in her marriage, full of pain and confusion. Annette became increasingly distant and withdrawn. Now silent in her wheelchair, Annette watched the shadows lengthen. The conifers stood tall against the garden fence. A little dog scrabbled at a nearby patch of earth. As the sun's low rays caught Aphrodite's hair, Annette's mind turned to the last few years when the world beyond the garden became a foreign land to Michael, a fear-filled wilderness in his fragmenting mind. The first year she wove the garden into tapestries of colour for him. He smiled as feathered grasses flickered in the summer light. He bent to touch the tiny flowers of heather and lobelia, lifted his head to see the winter sun transforming flax leaves into red and purple flames. Later, he could no longer watch the flowers and grasses. the overwhelming colour and movement of it all. Instead, he sat facing the calm, green wall of pines, staring at a single sunlit spot. That final evening was balmy with a gentle breeze. As darkness fell, Annette lit an old oil lamp and placed it on the ground beyond the tall-stemmed feather grasses, a backlit cameo set against the frame of night. She led him out, wrapped in his woolen shawl, drew his blank eyes towards the pool of light. The grasses swayed, soft as a kiss. She watched a trembling, uncertain smile dawn on her husband's face, and a huge wave of that old, misplaced love surged into her heart. Her face soft with memories, Annette gazed out at the garden. Aphrodite had faded into the shadows. It was nearly time to feed the dog. Her eyes closed. The hours ticked by, and stars pricked the clear night sky. She did not hear the scratch at the door as her little dog came in. She did not feel the pressure of his small muzzle against her hand, now cool like lime wash in autumn.
Mm.
There you go. I think I like stories that leave you with lots of questions unanswered.
Yes.
I like being plonked into a world that I can visualize very clearly so that I can believe in it. But I want it to also kind of link neatly with the character, with the character's psyche. So that whole bit about the statue and the psychology of this lady defining herself through the idea of that statue, through someone else's expression of beauty.
Mm.
And I like that a lot. I like how she tries to... It's like throughout the whole thing, she's trying to find peace by coordinating the viewpoint of her husband, who's got dementia, presumably.
Yeah.
And I found it very moving. But it doesn't answer everything. It doesn't sort of... Do you know what I mean? It is like a... For me, it felt like a slow fade out.
Yeah.
It was like... I don't know. But it was sort of peaceful as well. It wasn't unhappy.
Yeah.
It's clearly not a particularly happy marriage, but the fade out was...
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked it.
And it's got a little dog at the end. And you like little dogs, don't you, John?
We like dogs, don't we?
But joking aside, I did think there was some lovely gentle touches of language in there, wasn't there? Really well. Just such a light touch.
Yeah. Again, really well drawn out, I think. As in, not drawn out, as in
just
elongated.
It did go on, didn't it?
as in painted, as in like sketched.
Yeah, well, it had sort of a vibrant colour palette to it, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And phrases like a backlit cameo set against the frame of night. It just is drawing stuff,
it's
isn't
lovely.
It?
Yeah, but it sounds nice as well.
Yeah, it's got a
lovely, poetic sound to it.
Good to see a good high standard throughout this competition.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
I've got more.
What?
I've got some ones that made me smile. I'll keep moving quickly. Michelle Chamberlain wrote a great like mini sci-fi.
Oh, yes.
Involving some very frustrating AI.
Yes, that was good, wasn't it?
Trying to understand human emotions.
Ooh.
At the worst possible moment. It was funny, it was tense, it was good. Do you remember that one, Tommy?
I do, yeah. I really like that one.
I haven't got to that one yet.
Also, the Kevins. Well done, Kevins. Kevin McCormick's Leathery Kiss.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens' delightfully weird Could It Be Magic story. Do you remember that one? About the dream premonitions that come true because Mr. and Mrs. Cupid are mastering the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was good. It was funny.
Yeah.
But it was totally different to everything else that came in.
I would struggle to pick my favourite Kevin, to be honest.
The brilliant Kevin.
It's a difficult question, isn't it?
Some good Kevins. Very high Kevin standard this time out.
Pab Roberts.
Oh, yes.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was like it was a teenage thing, wasn't it? It was like little victories.
It had like echoes of sort of, I don't know, like 1980, like Breakfast Club, that kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mean like...
definitely threw me back.
Yeah.
Nostalgic.
Yeah. Really good, that one.
And while we're on stories of love...
I mean, yeah. No, you're right. A lot of them have been about love, haven't they? Now you mention it.
Yeah.
And while we're on stories of love in the throes of youth. That doesn't sound right, but yeah, you know what I mean. Stephanie Nolan.
Yeah. That was another one, wasn't it, that takes a very short space of time yeah. and nothing really happening and just puts so yeah, much yeah. meaning into it.
It was really good. It was, yeah, they were the rebellious teenage outcasts, just, weren't they?
Yeah, right in what must have, in the real world, would have been a short bus ride and some minor vandalism into a much deeper yeah. story.
Really
yeah, great
good.
Stuff, great stuff.
Similar was Gunshot by Victoria Gemmell, but had a much darker twist to it. And the other sort of young love one, Machidiso Radaby, hopefully pronounced that roughly right, their story of queer platonic love. That felt very real. It was quite moving. It was sort of told in this very casual style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Despite yeah. that very moving, it was, you know, obviously about a platonic relationship. Well, sort of platonic relationship. But I liked that as well. I thought that was great.
I'm just intrigued, but there must be, after that long list, there must be like three people left of entered that John hasn't mentioned. Oh, bloody hell.
Hundreds.
Right.
Fine. I've got more. Because I was thinking one that I really wanted to put through, I haven't decided yet whether they're going through to my shortlist.
Well, this is going to be cool.
I know it is.
Yeah. Oh,
I know it is, but
John, you can't do that.
Can I not? Shall
no,
I pretend
oh,
that?
Oh, that's just.
Oh no, I've got to say it now, haven't I?
Oh.
Well, I don't know whether to or not, but it was really good. Anna Gadd's story was quite unusual in that it was properly like a story of true love, in that it was sort of giving the idea, sort of getting over the idea that true love might actually mean sacrificing your happiness for someone else's.
Ooh.
And that was a real heartbreaker, I thought. I thought that really got me. I thought that was incredibly, I don't know, it felt very, what's the word?
Good.
Good.
There's yeah. that word
let's,
again.
Let's use your word, Dave, and let's call it very good.
Very, very yeah. good.
It was
yeah.
excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Reem Hamraz from India, another heartbreaking tale about the Indian partition, separating lovers. That was quite moving.
I tell you what, as you say that, John, as you go through this ever-increasing list of entrants, it has been quite striking, the international flavour of the entries
yeah,
we've had.
Yeah, that's very true, isn't
we've
it?
We've had, I mean, just, because I haven't read anywhere near as many as you have, but even in the few that I have got through so far, we've been to America, we've been to Canada, Iran,
yeah.
Kenya,
China, a couple
New,
of
New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah. India,
Scotland.
Oof.
I mean, everywhere we've been, yeah.
Yeah, exotic places.
Really, really just, yeah. So I was just amazing that people are listening to us in such far-flung places.
I know, thanks. Thanks, guys.
300 quid really pulls them in from all over the world, eh?
It does. What, Tommy, what did you think of, I'm not asking you, Dave, because I'm guessing you might not have read it, but if you have, you know, join in. Ryan Watch's fairy tale about heartstrings. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
It stood out a little bit because it was unusual. No one else had gone fairy tale. Tommy, any other little standy-outies that caught your eye?
Do you know, one of the other ones that really leapt out, you know what we were saying about ones that just leapt out, was by Kate Durant from Ireland. And it just, God, it, as probably as a parent, it just really tugged on some heartstrings.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll read it out. We'll read it and see. It's called Investment Advice. Feed them, as that famous quote doesn't say but should, and they will come. I get there first for one of my irregular lunch dates with my son, and I wait. Parenting books don't have a chapter on waiting. They should. You wait to get pregnant, you wait to give birth, and spend a lot of time waiting for them to go to sleep, only to wait for them to wake up again. You wait outside school gates, on sidelines, by swimming pools, and sometimes beside scary-looking hospital beds, holding impossibly small bodies. As the years pass, you wait for that key in the door when they've missed the last bus. And we won't even go into the unquantifiable amount of time that you wait for them to answer their phones. But it's always worth it. I sense him before I see him coming around the corner, all blonde hair and legs, 6'5" of perfection. Well, to me anyway. Catching sight of me, he makes a stride in my direction, realizing, as he does, that he has forgotten his belt, and I laugh as he pulls his jeans up, thinking of those innocent days when a small boy running out of the school gate to his waiting mum would notice that he had forgotten his belt and would stop to pull his pants up too. His smile lights up his face as he bounces over, bridging those waiting minutes in three long strides. "Hi, Mum," he grins as he drops a breath as soft as a kiss on the top of my head, and I grin back, no words needed. We grab a coffee and some lunch. When did he become old enough to drink coffee? And have a half-hearted fight over who is paying. I love that he offers, but I'm not ready to reverse the roles yet. He tucks into pancakes. "Remember the pancake house at Centre Parks, Mum?" he asks as the golden syrup drips down his chin, and I wave at a friend passing, willing her to keep walking and not dilute this precious time as my son and I chat with that wonderful shorthand that exists between people who were once one. I tell him about the dogs and how my begonia has been eaten alive by the slugs this year, and he tells me about a game of foot golf with the lads in cryptocurrency, although really, I'm only looking at him and hearing his voice, not his words. "You can show phenomenal growth if you invest wisely," he says, scrolling through his phone excitedly, showing me charts and graphs. You smile and you look at the phenomenal growth of your 28-year-old investment, thinking of the love you have speculated over the years and how it has repaid you so handsomely. And you reach out to touch his hand and say, "I know, son, I know."
Nice.
So I just thought that was a whole bundle of that parental pride.
Yeah, it sort of oozes love, doesn't it? Without being about anything whatsoever. But it's dripping out.
I think as well as it just being... It was really well observed, wasn't it?
Mm.
I think the first bit that got me, that kind of, you know, when you, like we were saying, you read it, was the about the waiting. That's such a nice observation that your entire parental career is different kinds of waiting.
Yeah.
And it changes as they get older, but you're still, that's your, and again, it's that investment thing. You're still putting that waiting. In. It's all putting in.
Yeah. It made me so angry thinking about that.
and then hopefully, the point is, hopefully at the end, there's a point where it's all suddenly completely worth it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why time seems to be going so quickly these days. It's because almost all of it is spent waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
For children. Yeah.
There is some truth to that, isn't there? Just out of interest, how old did you think he was before we're told?
I was thinking like older teenager kind of age to begin with.
Yeah. Because he dribbles, he forgets his belt, his trousers fall down.
Yeah, but he's, yeah. Well, you know.
I think you forget what you were like at 28 years old, John.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, about a pound for every time you were walking around dribbling with your pants around your ankles.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you did, yeah, and you did know me when I was 28, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lovely observation. Very warm, just warmth, warmth, warmth.
Yeah,
warmth.
Very nice.
Not trying, no clever twists or turns or, we were talking about a rabbit, actually, or what, do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It was...
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny, though, because you become conditioned to it. Because right at the end there, I was waiting for her to reach out to grab his hand, and he wasn't there because he's dead.
Yeah.
And she's imagined it
all.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I was waiting for a little twist, which it totally didn't need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another parenty one. I don't know if you remember it, which you're talking about clever ones before. This was very clever. It was a sort of like a circular one. Can you remember? You remember that one, Tommy? Philippa Howell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Is that ringing a bell?
That was on my
list.
It's
very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Destination known, wasn't it? That was
it. Yeah, that's it. It was sort of, the causation, the circular causation of life.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It was a bit sadder, that one, wasn't it, as well?
It was definitely a lot sadder, to be fair. This one was very pleasant.
Mm.
I'm going to read you another one. Do you want to hear another one?
Go on, then.
This one's by Tanuka Ilanko, and I thought it was... beautifully well-told story. See what you think. It is called Where Are You Going? Falling in love was so sweet. Those marvellous early weeks, Geeta's pulse constantly thumped in her stomach. She woke over and over to chirping summer crickets to see if he'd messaged, never minding that her eyes were red and she yawned through work. Every bright thing shone brighter. Blank-faced strangers on the street, startled, returned the smile that never left her. If the two of them had been here then, She could have shared the sunny skies, the silken ocean, the undulation of coastal cliffs with him. They'd have risen before the sun, held hands, leaving the hostel. No, together they would have stayed in a B&B and strolled through the farmer's market, choosing a fresh sourdough loaf and rich cherry tomatoes for lunch. They'd have left early. When they were together, they wouldn't want to rush. Stops for swimming, wave-splashed embraces under rock arches, pulling one another uphill to a windswept meadow to tear off pieces of bread and rub tomatoes on sweaty T-shirts as if to make them cleaner before feeding them to one another. Geeta has barely slept. The market was over when she left. She's running to make up time. Despite the exertion, she feels hollow, as if she sent him her insides, atom by atom, and nothing has come back to fill her in exchange, not even breakfast. How can she eat when he hasn't come? In a long-ago chemistry class, there was a marshmallow inside a glass desiccator with a vacuum pump, sucking out air until it expanded into a giant, pink, exuberant mass. Then something gave way. It shrank back. When the chamber was opened, it gave a leap and shriveled into a withered thing that had lost all structure. She doesn't remember what she was supposed to learn, only that horrid deflation. Loving was easy. Excision is not. In his presence, she'd vacuumed out whatever she was before him, and now, afterwards, she's left to reconstruct herself, to recall those atoms and bind them with seaside air and screeching gulls. She scuffs her muddy trainers in loose stones, making them grind together. Imagines walking on the crumbling jetty, posing together for photos, the weight of his arms, not the ache of rucksack straps. In echo, the wind rises, the light dims, another squall. Refuge in a cafe alone is indulgence. An incongruously red phone booth catches her eye. There's nothing inside, not even loose wires. She's rummaging for waterproofs and rucksack cover when she hears brrr, brrr, and drops her jacket before realizing it's from her pocket. Hey, she puts him on speaker, thinking to keep digging through her pack, then leans against the wall instead. It's cold, firm. His voice is as soft as a kiss. Geeta, I'm sorry, and I'm on the train. Reception's patchy. Can I meet you tonight? Where are you? Where are you going? Raindrops chatter on glass. She looks at her map case, clenches numbing fingers, runs a thumb over the ring. I'm not sure, but I'll let you know. Thoughts, gentlemen, thoughts.
It's a didn't she, isn't it? Mm. Again, appealing to the John Rands of this world with its unfinished business.
Yeah, get in, get out. Don't tell me everything.
Do you think Tanuka is a chemistry student or chemistry teacher?
I don't know.
Because there were some lovely the metaphors. The one that absolutely jumped out of there was the one about the one atom at a time.
Yeah.
I thought that was lovely, lovely imagery.
Yeah, it was.
Really was. As if she'd sent him her insides atom by atom and nothing has come back to fill her in exchange. Just the pain of like atom by like bit by bit by bit.
Yeah.
But then the absolute emptiness of it that created. Just, I thought that was lovely. Really good.
Yeah, I thought, that, and the marshmallow metaphor, it was like a brilliant encapsulation of how it feels when you're like hollowed out by a relationship ending or whatever.
Or maybe not.
Exactly. Again, that one felt quite real to me. I mean, I have no idea if it was or not.
Do you think it was quite filmic, cinematic in its world building, its delivery?
I think if you can make something feel as though it's a true story, you know, by rounding out the details and just like fully immerses into a time and place, you're onto a winner.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, really.
It was like that.
I felt there was something almost sort of manga, like anime-esque about it. When I sort of, particularly the description of the marshmallow bit, like you talk about it being quite filmic, I saw that animated in a... Oh, Christ, just headbutted the microphone. I really got into
you
that
got
him, then.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh,
go on,
God.
Dave.
It was really...
Bloody love that one.
But no, it looked, I could see
yes,
that
the same thing
in,
that kind,
in
yeah.
a sort of anime. You know, like the expanding and contracting marshmallow.
Like her memories would be animated in that style.
Yeah,
that
and the,
like
and the rain. Yeah, and yeah. It was, yeah, really atmospheric.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
Yeah, very visual. I like visual things, yeah.
Yeah, so if only you could take a story and turn it into like a series of visual images.
Somehow
yeah.
make it into pictures.
So you wouldn't have to read it. maybe yeah. one day.
But no, it's really good, that. Really good.
I thought so. Really good. I've got a serious question. And I want you to
well,
give
save
very...
it till after the podcast, John. Because
there's no place for that here.
No.
I want you to give me a
ask
very...
Ask it quickly then, but don't give people a chance to turn off. Go on.
Okay. I want you to give me a very honest answer here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
How do you think our 500-word love stories held up next to these? As in, like, the ones that we did back in episode 17 with Janice.
You mean, would I have picked ours above any of these?
Yeah, did you find reading these a little bit intimidating, or were you like, yeah, these are good, but ours were better?
Yeah, well,
like, do you, how do you think we would have fared in the competition? That's probably a better way of asking.
I don't know.
If it wasn't us judging, obviously.
Yeah, but somebody else judging.
It's an interesting question. I would hope mine would do. I think I landed quite lucky on that one. When we wrote that, I was quite happy with mine in the end. But I can't see it standing head and shoulders above anything on here. Do you mean like in terms of being...
I really liked mine, but Janice completely missed the point of it. So I wonder now if anyone else...
Well, that's the trouble, isn't it? If you enter in a competition and someone reads it and thinks, oh, I don't really get that.
Well, it's funny. It's interesting though, isn't it? Because like you said, Tom, with a few of them, you read it first time and it didn't quite land. And you read it again and you see it totally differently.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's not always going to happen, is it? That someone's
going to take the time to reread it.
Oh,
I just don't get that.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Luck of the draw. Well, that's interesting because that's quite a good link because the next one that I was going to read out to you is one that I still am not entirely sure that I understand it.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, but there's just something about it that I like.
Which one is it, David?
It is One Elephant by Danielle Callis.
Oh, I don't know what's happening in that either.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that one.
I think I got confused by that.
But not in a, this is badly written, I don't understand what's, as in a, I need to work more of this out. I need to join some dots.
I think I put that on my reread pile and I haven't. Yeah.
Well, I'll reread it for you right now, John.
Perfect.
Save you the trouble.
Make sense of it for us.
I'm not promising that, but I will read it. So this is One Elephant by Danielle Callis. A flash of light illuminated the sky outside, casting shadows across the walls of the home. One elephant, two elephant, three elephant. Before Amelia could count to four, she heard the rumble, like waves rolling across rocks before colliding with the shore in an almighty crash. It was getting closer this time. She picked up a shard of glass at her feet, pricking her finger on its sharp edge. A crimson-red teardrop swelled at the tip, rolling down her skin and staining the carpet. She sucked the end of it, wincing at the copper taste on her tongue. Blood. The very thing keeping her alive, and suddenly, she couldn't waste a drop. She could hear the sound of her heartbeat swelling in her ears, pulsing through her veins and rushing through her arteries. "What are you thinking about?" she heard her husband ask, startling her. "Nothing," she said, smearing the bloodstain on the floor with the heel of her foot. "What are you doing awake?" "I'm not tired," he said, the bags under his eyes telling a different story. He stepped over the broken photo frame, the picture of the two of them staring up at him, and reached instead for the bottle of whiskey that sat on the top shelf of the cabinet. He sunk into the couch, absorbed for a moment by the flicker of the television. "Have we got anything in for dinner tomorrow?" he finally asked. She shook her head, to which he replied with a slow nod. He handed her the bottle, and she took a swig, savouring the taste of it in her mouth. She'd bought it as a gift for their first wedding anniversary. They weren't supposed to open it until next month. Another flash of light slid through the gaps in the curtain. One elephant, two elephant. This time the rumble shook the ground, the lights flickering for a moment. "It's now or never," he said. "I'll go," she said, slipping her wedding ring from her finger. She placed it into her husband's hand, his skin stretched thin across his bones. His dressing gown hung from his shoulders, his cheeks sunken and his brows furrowed with concern as he stared back at her. "We'll go together," he said, pulling himself to his feet. The air was thick with smoke outside, and there was a hazy orange glow in the distance. Most of the houses were boarded up now, albeit for a few that were like them that had chosen to stay. Now there wasn't anywhere left for them to go. They hadn't even made it to the end of the road before they saw the light headed towards them. Her husband pulled her into his chest, his touch as soft as a kiss. "We go together," he said. She could hear the sound of his heartbeat against her ear, pulsing through his veins and rushing through his arteries. She held on tighter, suddenly aware that she couldn't waste a second. One elephant.
Yeah, you read that well, man.
What I quite like about that is that it's got like a hint of a... almost like a... what's it called? Dusk Till Dawn, yeah, sort of thing. Like there's a sudden sort of shift.
Yeah, genre shift halfway, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then you're suddenly like, what? Hey, what? Mm. What's going on here? And it's not resolved in any sense. Like the things that you've read, John, it leaves a lot of questions, but just it's done in a slightly different way.
I've got some questions. This might sound stupid, but why were there so many elephants outside her house? And what did they want?
They just want counting. Yeah. That's all elephants want. Yeah, they're often attracted by thunderstorms. Yeah. See, the noises.
God, they didn't have
any sheep. People will count them.
Now, are you thinking Ukraine? So to the war in Ukraine, was that where you
apocalypse
went?
Apocalypse, kind of, yeah. Some kind
yeah,
of,
I was, yeah, oh, yeah, I was thinking much more apocalyptic. Yeah.
Well, I was to begin with, and then...
they've been stuck in the house for a long time. They're very skinny and thin. They've got enough food. Yeah. Jimmy, they're down to the last stuff. It's all kind of a bit Mad Max. And then this is the final one, and it's so close. There's only time for one elephant.
I feel like the ground has been shaking, you know, the war is getting closer.
That's it, it's all getting close to them. Do you know what I thought was wonderful in this as well? That entire first paragraph takes up like probably a fifth of the entire words in the thing. And then it's just dealt with as a something that has just happened in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about? Nothing. It's almost like it's not even worth talking about anymore. It's just kind of, once you realize it's in this kind of apocalyptic, war-torn thing, it's just too much effort to even explain. We're just existing. We're just kind of scraping through it.
Yeah, nice. It reminds me a little bit of that thing that Spielberg does very well, which is sort of home in on a very sort of small, you know, little detail, like the water, the glass of water in Jurassic Park.
I was going to say, yeah.
And then
you're
slowly kind of pulling out and seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I thought it worked very well.
Yeah. But it's like that, like you said, that the sort of second part of it where they talk to each other is a really sort of it's just a natural homely thing, isn't it? You know, that what you're thinking, nothing, you know, tired, got anything for dinner tomorrow. It's just such a normal, everyday conversation.
It smacks of them being very used to whatever's going on.
And then, but there's, you know, it's a normal conversation in what seems to be a completely abnormal situation with the elephants hunting them down. The elephants have organized themselves.
Terror. Yeah.
Yeah.
The War Elephants, yeah.
No, it was very good. Who was that again?
Danielle Callis.
Danny Elephant Callis.
Nice.
I assume relatively happy, having just been compared to Spielberg.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, you know, you're going to be, aren't you?
It's not bad.
You're welcome.
So, like we said right at the start, a lot of good stories this year.
Mm. And what we've read out tonight doesn't affect, this is just us feeling like we weren't intending on doing this. It wasn't in the plan, but it was... it felt remiss of us to let things go past without, we kind of just felt we had to share it with you, really.
Yeah.
And while the judging's ongoing, and hopefully we'll get to share more with you as we announce winners and stuff as well. But just a really diverse and different set of stories, really. Just quite overwhelming in some respects.
Well, there's a lot of talented people out there, and most of them listen to our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it attracts them, doesn't it? Like, flies around shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Just something about, you know, talented people and us.
Just literally everyone that's listening now has just gone, yeah, opposites attract. They're doing their jokes for us now.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks very much, listener. Yeah, opposites do attract.
So, but how many more weeks until the actual winner is announced, though?
That's on next week's show.
Is that on next week's show?
It's on next week's show day.
What?
You don't need to wait much longer.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, when do we have to give our shortlist?
You need to get reading the rest of them, Dave. We all do. We need to finish reading
When do we have to get it to Rosie?
You got 2 days, I think.
2 days?
We've got 2 days to finish reading.
I've got to read 500 stories a day.
You crack on, mate.
Just do what I do, mate. Don't actually read the stories. Just look at the titles. If you like the titles, read it. If you don't, just delete it. That's what I've been doing. Have you been reading them all?
I think that's what Dave's doing.
That's why I've been going wrong, isn't it? I've actually been reading all the words.
Hey, we should also mention, if we haven't mentioned you, don't worry. It's not because your story wasn't great. It's just we can't read them all out, can we? We can't name everyone.
John did his best to get through every single person.
Don't give up. Don't stop writing just because we haven't mentioned you. Keep banging out the words. There were genuine lots of good stories.
So. Yeah, and tune in next week to see whether you're a winner.
Exactly.
That could have been... May have been one that's mentioned, may have been one that hasn't been mentioned.
Might be one that's not been mentioned, so it might be one that we haven't even got to in the reading pile yet.
And also, obviously, next week as well, I guess, are we doing a list of rubbish ones as well? Then we're going to read a couple of those out and, like, mock them?
Humiliate some people.
I think so, yeah.
So do tune in for that next week.
It's like the yin and the yang.
I mean, that's why people listen to this show. So.
Yeah. I mean, people will be pleased just to be featured, won't they?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
They've sent a story in, they get it read out. I mean, that's nice, isn't it?
If we really go to town as well, really pull everything apart.
Yeah. That'd be great.
That's what we're all about.
It's just good content.
Yeah.
So what's left but to thank everyone who entered the competition.
Yeah.
Do you know who else we need to thank? Is the wonderful Scrivener app.
Oh, yeah.
And the people there for supporting us.
Absolutely.
And
great
stuff. We should reiterate, if you don't own a copy of Scrivener, then do yourself a favour.
Why not?
Yeah, because writing a book is really hard. So why would you want to make it any harder? Do you know what I mean?
Do the opposite of making it harder, surely.
That would make more sense.
Make it easier on yourself.
Especially when you can get 20% off a copy of Scrivener right now by using the code FAILING.
That is not to be sniffed at, 20%.
Yeah, at literatureandlatte.com.
And you can sign up for a free trial, I think, can't you, as well? Which will tide you over until next week to see whether you're one of the runners-up that may have won a copy of Scrivener. Prizes galore next week.
Everyone's a winner.
No, don't say that.
It's
not our competition.
That's literally the opposite of a competition.
Nobody's a loser. Can we say that?
I mean, look, everybody's written a story. And as we know, it's no words are wasted.
Yeah,
so you're absolutely right, Dave.
Every loser wins.
And do you know what? There will have been a lot of people, and some of you will be listening. Yes, you, talking to you, that were intending to write a story and never got round to it. Which is obviously behaviour we can't condone. I mean, that's terrible. Terrible stuff. So even just by entering... That's a big step in the right direction, isn't it?
You're a winner in our eyes.
And do you know what was lovely? The number of people on the emails that had said, really love the podcast, you've inspired me to start writing again.
That's true.
I've never really written anything before, but I thought, oh yeah, I'll give it a go. Listen to the podcast, it's blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, do you know what? I'll have a go at writing. And there was quite a few of them, and it was really quite heartwarming, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
A lovely thing to hear.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Oh, group hug!
But until then, let's carry on with the reading and the judging.
Yeah, see you next week for the winner's parade.
Until then.
Well, let's go. Cheerio, everyone.
Farewell, fellas.
See ya.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Where's everybody gone?